Occult Lives by D. Eliot. Dr. John Dee. O omnipotent divine majesty, how we mortals are constrained to confess what great wisdom and what ineffable mysteries reside in the law which thou hast made. John Dee. Hello and welcome to Occult Lives. This episode of the subject is Dr. John Dee, natural philosopher, astronomer, astrologer, mathematician, alchemist and codebreaker. In fact, the list goes on of his many attributes. John Dee lived in a time of much religious turmoil and royal troubles throughout Europe. The Protestant and Catholic divide was still raging through the lands, as well as the divide between the poor and the rich growing further apart. Dee was probably a fish out of water with both religious and secular societies. We know when and where Dee was born, and even what time, as he made a number of astrological birth charts for himself. July the 13th, 1527, latitude 51-32. Dee impressed everybody at Trinity College, which he attended as a top student in many subjects. Whilst there, he became involved in the amateur dramatic side and created a large wooden flying beetle as a special effect in a play. It amazed everybody watching, especially as it was not revealed the mechanisms behind it. Nobody believed he had created it, and rumours soon spread that to be able to produce such phenomena, maybe he had made a pact with the devil. Dee was to become an expert in maths, astrology and astronomy, as well as law and history. He was also interested in antiquities and collected books, especially rare and occult ones. After his schooling, Dee taught celestial and solar navigation techniques, and a close friend of his was the cartographer Mercator. In the town of Mortlake, he had a home next to the Thames, where he was consulted on all types of matters by all kinds of people. Soon, Dee was getting a reputation for magic, which didn't help his case when he was imprisoned on charges for casting enchantments against Queen Mary. Dee liked a good puzzle, and so codes, ciphers and encryptions were an amusement to him, and being a part of many royal courts, his talents at deciphering such cryptograms were often called upon. As he delved further into the occult arts, he became fixated with magical squares, often trying to work out the names of God or angels through them. Also in those days, astrological charts were made in a square box rather than the circle which most people are familiar with today. Dee was also known as an alchemist, the science of his day. With his own laboratory, he was able to continue his search in this ancient art, to attempt to turn other materials into gold. Dee sought the philosopher's stone, the base material needed to be able to transmute other substances into gold. He promised to impress the royalty and nobles of Europe with his attempts to perform this feat of alchemy, but never actually accomplished this undertaking. In the 1570s, his diaries have short entries of his day, maybe with a recording of a birth or a death, along with times and place. In one entry, he remarks about a man cutting his own throat. Suicide seems to happen a lot in those days too. In the same month, he writes about how he meets up with the Queen Elizabeth. The Queen visited Dee at his home in Mortlake a number of times over the years. She consulted him on astrological matters regarding her reign and country. At one point, he was brought into the royal entourage to investigate some accusations of witchcraft that had been directed at her and not in a favourable light. Effigies of the Queen had been found. All crowns had enemies, and magic was regarded as a powerful weapon, and Dee was held to be the magus to protect her and the crown from them. The diaries comment on other people who visit him and the service he gave, usually of a spiritual matter, or of those who serviced his household. The diaries include his troubles with other people who had wronged him, as well as gossip he heard said about him. Some of the troubles he mentions that people have come to see him about include people who are troubled by spiritual creatures and how he helps them be rid of them. With a few prayers and kind words, he is able to dispel this spirit from them. Most of the time he writes in his diaries in English, though there are entries in Latin or Greek. He often remarks, like any good Englishman does, on the weather. He mentions a splendid set of meteors he saw one night of the 4th of November. Dee had a reputation for divination through astrology. He was often asked to do astrological readings and forecasts, especially for birth dates. This kind of magic, divination, is to seek for information, to find knowledge of the future or of a situation. What Dee really wanted to do, but was unable, was to scry. Scrying is to enter other realms, meet other beings, which could be spirits, angels, or demons. Dee needed a scryer because he did not have the means nor the power to be one himself. He could not see. Dee wanted a scryer to continue his studies in the occult and to contact the angels. This was a time when nearly all people had a belief in such supernatural beings and devils too. Dee employed various scryers over the years, but the most famous one to be associated with him is Edward Kelly. Kelly first came to Dee on March the 10th, 1582, which was a Saturday according to Dee's diary. Kelly used the name Edward Talbot on this occasion. Why he would use another name is not too clear. He had previously dabbled in necromancy, having dug up a corpse for this deed. He'd also been charged with forgery. His ears were cropped for this, and it is said this is why he wore a hat that was tight to the head and came down to the neck. Dee apparently was unsure of him at first, but when Kelly proved his powers by seeing an angel in Dee's mirror, Dee wanted to work with him. Dee used a number of devices in his scrying sessions, as well as intense prayers and meditations. The objects he would use were crystals or mirrors to look into. The mirrors were called shoe stones. He also proudly owned an obsidian mirror, said to be of Aztec origin, which was often used in their scrying sittings. Some of Dee's original objects are held in the British Museum, such as the shoe stone mirror, along with wax discs, which the scrying objects would have been placed on. One of the wax discs has a seal of God etched into it, as well as other magical names and symbols. Kelly would sit before the crystal or stone, or whatever device they were using that week to scry. He would start with prayers and continue them until he received the sight, usually within the tool they were using. Kelly, with his mediumistic skills, saw scenes unfold, wildlife and scenic places where scenarios played out to him by other creatures. One time, an angel appeared to Kelly and declared he was Uriel. According to ancient texts, Uriel is believed to be one of the holy angels, an archangel, sometimes regarded as the keeper of the mysteries, so an angel Dee would have much to discuss with. But what surprised Dee was that the holy angel came to Kelly in a child's body. Uriel gave them predictions such as the Spanish Armada's arrival and foretold the death of Queen Mary. The conversations between the angelic being and Kelly were sometimes full of prophecies, sometimes instructions as to what to do, other times warnings against dabbling in the occult, whilst others' talks would be of a theological nature. Dee recorded all scrying sessions in his spiritual diaries. He was also more than willing to follow the angel's instructions that were given to him via Kelly. As they scryed, the angels and spirits came through so that Kelly could see and hear them. They gave information and speeches and the key to the angelic language, which was the way to speak to the angels and God, what was to become known as the Enochian language, because the only human to have been taught it and spoke it was Enoch. Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah, and he was allowed to visit heaven as he was a righteous man. Enoch did this via visions and dreams, and he walked with the angels and God himself. The books of Enoch were not part of the Christian Bible, but they are still read in Jewish literature. The books include stories of the angels and their mission to look after the first humans. These angels were known as the Watchers, and in this story they seduced the human women. Dee was to rediscover this lost language that the angels used to converse in with the help of his squire Kelly. The alphabet is now a familiar one in magical workings today, its wavy letters all full of hidden meanings. The angels communicated with sigils, and Dee had to compose these. They were full of stars and lines, letters and numbers, which were meant to reveal the secrets of the universe and other mystical philosophies if deciphered correctly. Dee was also rather gullible, perhaps a pawn to the angel's devilish side. He was told by the angels that if he burnt all his magical books, they would reappear fully intact and unharmed. He followed their instructions and burnt his magical writings, but not one rematerialised as promised. The angels also asked him to bring his young son Arthur to the sessions, as they believed he would be a great medium. Dee declined to let his son become a channel for them. He did not want the boy involved in their antics with other realms. Maybe this was because of something else that the angels and spirits were telling him. It was an odd thing in that often the angels would not only give him instructions, that they would warn him it would be better if he did not follow the instructions, that he should not dabble in such arts, and that he was actually falling into a trap. Whether it was Kelly they meant was the trap, or that dabbling with scrying always led to some kind of trap, is not made clear. Would Kelly, who was the one receiving the instructions, pass on such messages if he was a con man himself? Maybe he was a trickster type who liked to play with his prey. Or maybe the messages were genuine, heavenly advice to not dabble in the black arts. Kelly was unpredictable during these sessions. Sometimes he turned into a foul-tempered man, later saying he'd been possessed by evil spirits and that he needed exorcising from them. Little creatures of a cubit high would often visit Kelly, and he would talk with them long into the night. Dee could not see or hear any of them, so had to rely on Kelly to tell him what was happening. Dee and Kelly worked together for a number of years, even moving to Prague for a time to work their alchemy and spiritual practices there. As time went on, the angels, especially Uriel, asked them to perform more and more odd things, including the infamous wife-swapping incident. The angels told Kelly he and Dee were to share each other's wife for a night, or cross-matching as Dee calls it in his diary. Kelly became more argumentative, and whilst they were living in Poland, he got hold of a copy of a book said to be full of black magic. Dee did not want to be associated with such a book, and this was one of the reasons he finally decided to split from Kelly and return to England. When Dee arrived back at Mortlake, he was to find his house had been ransacked. Many of his books were gone. His science equipment in his lab was destroyed, but as to who did this, he never seems to reveal. Many historians claim it was a mob on a witch hunt, though it has never been recorded who, if anyone, was ever caught or blamed for it. Dee published The Hieroglyphic Monad in 1564, a short book dedicated to King Maximilian, and is a treatise on symbolic language. Dee says it took him 12 days to write, and he believed the symbol he created, the hieroglyphic monad, was a key to everything from astronomy to zoology. He discusses in Theorems how he created this sigil, the hieroglyphic monad, from different astrological symbols. It starts at the top with a crescent moon, or a semicircle as Dee calls it. Beneath this is a circle to represent the sun, and underneath this is a cross of four straight lines to represent the elements, and at the bottom the sign of Aries. The book also has some charts to explain magical symbols. Dee also comments in this book that he hopes that Maximilian, the king he has dedicated the book to, would become a Zion of Christ against the dark shadows that are rising on the earth. Dee seems to be in fear of the future, the dark versus the light. He was so determined to be on the good path that he took some books to the Archbishop of Canterbury, claiming they were heretical and wicked books against Christ. One was written by Christen Franken, who was later to recant the book. Dee also writes in his diary about his indignation at a backers' feast that was being held in Brimford. In the last decade of his life, Dee was given work in Manchester. He had 8 children and 2 wives, but not all of them survived him. Plague took his beloved second wife, Jane. England was now ruled by King James I, and Dee returned to London in 1603. When Dee began to scry again with another scryer, he buried all his magical books in the fields around Mortlake. He was still looking for the answers he needed about divinity, angels, and how to discover the secrets of the universe. During his scrying sessions with Kelly, he had asked the angel Michael what he should do with his magical tools. Dee had asked him, "What am I to do with the wax, the table, the ring?" And the angel Michael replied, "When the things are ready, thou shalt know what to do with them." The angel Michael reminded Dee to be an honest man, and I think he was throughout his life, which is maybe why he was so easily deceived by the spirits and any con man that saw him coming. Dee wanted to do God's will. The following is from the book Hieroglyphic Monad. "O God, pardon me if I have sinned against thy majesty in revealing such a great mystery in my writings, which all may read, but I believe that only those who are truly worthy will understand." His death date is not known exactly, but Dee died either late 1608 or early 1609. He is buried in Mortlake Church, somewhere under what are now the pews. He was 81 years of age when he died, a very old age in those days, which is maybe why people thought he dabbled in magic, because he managed to live so long. All you have heard has been looked up and researched by myself, but you can find out more on Dr. Dee in books, the web, talking and libraries. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace and out.